Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is Friday. Finally, the day that we will be on stage for The Fan Live at the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg. Bunch of you were tweeting last night saying you were coming out to the event. Going to be a lot of fun. It's not very often that we get to hang out with Chad or the Junkies outside of the office, and certainly not all of us together. And never before on one stage. You guys all did it once. I had a wedding that
night. Right,
so yeah. It's going to be very cool to get the entire staff together.
It is awesome. And beers will be had. A couple tears will be shed probably. There's some joning that takes place all live. Some good fodder for everybody. If you're a fan of each one of the shows individually, all of us together, whatever it is, it's a lot of fun, man. So you could follow me at Funny Danny or Grant H. Paulson or a lot of the other guys on Twitter. Our good friend Amanda, who lives in Winchester, had a couple of tickets that she was planning on using. She can't go. So I just retweeted her. I know a couple other folks have as well. She's going to give away a couple tickets via her Twitter account over the course of today. So it's sold out. You can't get in. But that may be your last teeny tiny window to get a couple of her seats. She's a good egg. She can't make it.
How long of a set are you doing tonight?
I believe either 15 to 20, somewhere in there.
Okay. Do we have a God mic sorted out for you?
Yeah. That's been taken care of.
Do we have a light to flash in the back of the room with timing?
Doesn't sound like we do. Doesn't sound
like
that's...
Is that going to be an issue?
It probably will be. Probably will be.
Would you prefer me to go to the back of the room and flash a light at some point?
Would love it. If you could time me out right at 15 minutes, if you flash me that light, that'd be great. Then I'll be ready to get off stage and know what to do.
If you'd prefer me to do that, I would do that.
Would love for my co-host and pal to do that for me as a personal favor.
All right,
favor.
Consider it done.
Just a quick note for that tonight. We were talking yesterday, and I wrote a joke. I'm not going to go up there and roast anybody. That's not really
tonight's
thing.
That's what I was wondering. How much shtick, how many jokes are there about the members of the station?
Well, there's one less because I ran one by my wife last night, and it was met with a, as she was on her way to say, I kind of get that, but not laughing, not even kind of a smile. I said, okay, that's one less in the set list.
Was
that
it the one
out.
You said to me?
That's the one.
It's not going
and
in.
It ain't going in.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny and well-crafted.
But
she disagreed.
I think P1s will like it a lot.
You think
which
they will?
Is who's there? Who's paying to come see this event of a bunch of dummies on stage? It's people that listen every day.
And that's Peter Ones.
It's a little bit different than your wife just saying, yeah, that's not that funny.
She started asking questions about, wait, so does that mean? And I was like, you know what, that joke's out. That's not going to happen.
I wouldn't rule that joke out. I thought it was good as someone who's pretty plugged in on the station, if that makes any sense.
You're restoring my confidence. Maybe it does go in. Maybe I'll just go for it. I'll go for it.
What's the worst that could happen?
Dead silence and stares.
Yeah,
and,
I think that's okay.
Ruining my 15 minutes set.
What's the update? I heard you on Chad's show at the very beginning of Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday. He was talking about having Jared do a 5-minute set before you to kind of start the night. Of course, Jared is a guy who's never done stand-up comedy and I don't think would fashion himself as the funniest guy in any room he's in. What's your thought on Jared leading the night off on Mike?
If it's happening, I would love it. I would love to see it. For folks that don't know Jared, he weighs 153, can't gain weight, also won't try to gain weight because he hasn't eaten since 96, is a very button-down, serious man, very nice man, professional, does his job very well. He's not the kind of guy you'd go, hey, give the speech, Jared. And like he's like, I remember back in 77, it was me, Mike, and Rexy. You guys remember Rexy? Crazy son of a bitch. Like he's not going to go through and do that sort of thing. He's not that big, gregarious, bombastic, attention-seeking jackass like yours truly. If he gets up there and does stand-up for 5 minutes, I would love it. I would love it more than anything.
Has anyone ever done stand-up for the first time ever, even for 5 minutes, and everyone thought it was really good? I don't know that it's something that anyone can just do and everyone leaves going, he's going to be really good at that.
So what usually happens is when you do it for the first time, people make the mistake of bringing all their friends who are so supportive, where he's like, you guys know Maggie? And they all know Maggie. So they're like, ah,
oh,
that's
okay.
So great. And you're fooled into thinking that you're any good. You don't know that you're terrible while you're doing it. You have no idea how bad you are. Then you'll see a video of yourself early on, and you'll be like, oh, my God, I was so
But how many of Jared's friends got tickets tonight?
Yeah, I don't think
probably very few.
That many. So if you're going up in front of strangers.
Is it better to go on after someone bombs or kills?
Bombs.
It is?
Yeah. Because it's a breath
Wouldn't
of fresh air.
Wouldn't you want the audience kind of lubed up and feeling themselves?
So there's two ways to do it. If you are a superstar, then you're like, yeah, let's get the crowd warmed up. Let's warm the crowd up. So then I can walk in and ride the wave, and it's easy. If the person in front of you, though, is just so heinous, which, again, no offense to Jared, but if he's never done it before, then me being just okay will make the people think that I'm great, if that
right.
makes any sense.
But
you know what I mean?
The net for you is high. Like, you're not going to be okay. You've performed for probably a lot of these people before.
Yeah.
And it's all of our listeners, and for the most part, other than the few big Junkies fans that can't stand us.
That hate our guts.
I don't think anyone in the crowd is going, when is Danny getting off the stage? I want to see. You know what I mean? I think people that are there generally like you in the station.
I think they're waiting for the Junkies, for the most part.
There's a lot of that.
I think that's what this event is. It's when are the Junkies coming out, and when are they going to talk about Tiger?
Tally-ho Theater, Leesburg tonight. There was some confusion. Doors are going to open at 6. We're going to be getting there right around 7, I think, and everything starts sometime shortly thereafter.
About 7:30. It's open at 6, so here's what you do. Get something to eat locally. Head on over to the Tally-ho Theater.
Nothing
get some
but
beers.
Great restaurants right around
yeah,
there, by the
gets,
way.
And get, and knock down a few beers and get ready for the show. It's going to be a blast. That place is awesome. I've done stand-up there probably 4 or 5 times. It's great. Just a great spot.
We'll see you tonight. Going to be a good evening. Last night was a productive night for the Capitals. They beat the Florida Panthers 4-2, snapped a 3-game losing skid. And the things that they needed to do, they were able to. They haven't gotten enough shots on goal at all. They pelted a number 3 goaltender for the Panthers.
Shooting Gattler last
night. Harry Sateri with 46 shots. They scored 4 goals. It could have been more. They hit a couple posts and a 5-on-3 as well. Alex Ovechkin, number 30. He has scored 30 goals in all 13 of his careers. Also racked up his 500th assist on a Nicholas Backstrom power play tally. John Carlson scored. Brett Connolly scored. You realize Brett Connolly is now tied for 2nd on the Capitals in goals?
That's both good and bad.
It's more
good
than
bad. It's good for him. I'm glad about that. I need a couple other guys to have more goals than Brett Connolly.
Understood, but their scoring's not down. It's not like they aren't posting
enough
offense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Brett Connolly was the 6th overall pick years ago by, I believe, the Lightning. He ended up getting to the NHL with the Bruins. He was fizzling out as a prospect. Everyone kind of left him for dead. His career was over. The Caps take a chance on him. Last year, he scores 15 goals. He's on pace for 25 this year, which is crazy. Braden Holtby was pretty good in net as well. But all the problems they've had, not shooting enough, the power play looking broken, defense in front of their goaltenders, at least for one night were fixed. I don't know if it's because the Panthers are terrible or if it's because the Capitals got back to some of the basics and actually got some time to practice.
Could be a little above.
But it was a good sign. Also, last night, the Wizards were in action playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. They had a really good second half, for what it's worth. Offensively, at least. They scored 34 and 38 points after intermission in the 3rd and 4th. They gave up almost 40 points in the 4th quarter, and they lost 121-112. I was talking with one of the guys who does all the Wizards stuff at NBC Sports Washington pre and post as I was leaving in the elevator last night, post-game for the Caps. He said, dude, this team's just not good right now. And I think that's a pretty good summation. They're 4 over .500 in a bad conference. They're going to make the playoffs. But on a binary, are the Wizards good or not? They're not that good.
Yeah, they're not. And it's in the basketball world, there's an article every other day about them. They're the team that's irritating hoop people that love basketball, that cover the league, that think about it. Because everybody said once Gordon Hayward goes down early season, the window was open for the Wizards to kick the door down and be one of the top 3 teams in the Eastern Conference and legitimately be one, not just be one by default. And all they've done is squander the easiest schedule in the NBA. And all they've done is be maddening and frustrating. They're limited. They're stuck. This is the classic Ernie Grunfeld. You back yourself into a corner where you can't make that many moves, then you kind of do something that makes it slightly better and then bask in that kind of glory as the short-term improvement happens. When you give up 3 of your last 4 first-round picks, you're kind of stuck without many assets to move. So anything that they do would require, in all likelihood, either giving up another first-round pick or an asset that everybody seems to like to get rid of a couple of these bad contracts.
I also think, and this is now revisionist history, because if you go back and pull the audio, I think I was endorsing them doing this at the time. And I don't even know that it was a bad decision, but it's a decision that's maybe backfired. At least for the moment, it looks terrible. The Otto Porter $100 million contract.
Right now, it doesn't look good.
Is a major problem for them because he is playing hurt and or not healthy, whichever you prefer to use from a vernacular standpoint. He's not himself, and he's been not all that helpful.
Not a factor, really.
And that contract cripples you when you have the money invested that they have in Gortat and in Mahimi, who they're getting nothing out of. So basically, you've got a ton of money in Mahimi, a good chunk of money in Gortat, a ton of money in Porter, and none of them are even close to maxing out what they can be. So that's a big, big problem. But that contract right now, for a guy who last year as a role player was kind of the apex of what he can be, this year he's a lot closer to the floor of what he can be, and he's killing him.
And he's a dependent player, and he'll that's why I don't love paying guys that can't get their own shot, you know, max money. But that's kind of the way the league is now. So at the time, you're right, I was sort of going, well, they kind of have to do this because that's how it goes. This, to me, is all about John Wall. And John Wall, even though he had a nice stat line last night, 21 points, 12 assists, 5 turnovers, which has now become his standard, out of control here and there. There are too many moments where he's walking around. It's now you get some of those Ovechkin highlights from a few years ago that who's the jackass at NBC that loves to point him
Mike
out?
Mike Milbury.
Milbury, thank you. You can get some of those now for John Wall where he's walking around, where he didn't box his guy out, and the guy goes in for a follow-up dunk, and Wall doesn't really care. He ain't right. He's also, I think, kind of down about it. He's not his same bouncy, energetic self all the time. I really believe he's playing hurt. When he's not himself, guys don't get the same looks. Those easy buckets that he's put on this earth to provide, they don't get. So Otto Porter having to work for his offense, you see what it looks like. Bradley Beal shooting a career worst from three. That's what it looks like. Now, Beal's game has evolved to the point that he's can get his own way better than he could 2-3 years ago, which is why you see nights like last night where he was 41-12-7, and he was excellent. He looked like the all-star that we all know he is. But those easy transition threes where he's spotting up and John Wall draws three defenders, kicks it right to the shooter's pocket where guys are just basically throwing water into the ocean, those haven't come as often. I think it's directly because of Wall.
1-1 in the games for the teams at the Monumental Sports Network. 2-1 in the city yesterday, probably, because the other win was that the Redskins re-signed linebacker Mason Foster to a 2-year contract. He called into the show right after putting pen to paper and told us the reason he's coming back is because he's looking forward to working again with Greg Minuski and Jay Gruden, really likes the coaching staff, and thinks that this defense, if it was healthy, would have been a lot better last year and is probably closing in on being a really solid and tenacious unit. So it's good having him on the show yesterday. Next, the XFL is back, iteration 2.0. And this one's going to be a lot different than the first one. We'll explain why Vince McMahon's press conference yesterday set a very different tone than the league that was created back in the early 2000s that didn't work after just one season. You're listening to The Fan. UWE, and mostly you know him for his work on camera when he's strutting down to the ring to go fight Stone Cold or something over the years. Remember back in the early 2000s, he created the XFL, and for 1 year, he, hate me, and some of the players in that league initially had some eyeballs on them. The first week, over 9 million people or so tuned in to watch.
Massive numbers. I mean, if you think about relative to the NFL, you go, oh, it wasn't even close. Think about relative to everything else. That is enormous interest.
Problem was that the next week, about half of those people came back.
Right.
By the end of the year, about a tenth of those people were watching the product because the football was not very good. But when the XFL had first come out, it was the extreme game. It was more violent. It was more physical. They were going to have guys basically beat each other up for possession of the football rather than a coin toss at the beginning of the game where they had to race and get into this wrestling match to scrum to see who was going to get the ball. And then the first time they did it, a guy separated his shoulder and broke his arm.
The first minute they had it.
I mean, it was just such a debacle, really, from Jump Street. They did some cool things as well that did stick technologically and that the NFL did steal. But the XFL is going to be coming back after one unsuccessful foray. Vince McMahon made the announcement yesterday, and he thinks that the timing couldn't be better.
Football is America's favorite sport. There are 7 months of no football on the gridiron, and there are 70 million fans. So why not now? So now is a perfect opportunity, and I've always wanted to bring it back.
The announcement he made was basically very much a take out your pom-poms. This is about you. And it's very clear that he sees over the last couple years there is a group of people who are no longer as enchanted with the NFL that feel like the NFL, either by way of some of the changes in the rules or players taking a knee or whatever it is, that they feel like the NFL's not for them. And he wants this to be about those fans, clearly.
What would you do if you could reimagine the game of professional football? Would you, for instance, eliminate halftime? Would you have fewer commercial breaks? Would the game of football be faster? Would the rules be simpler? The new XFL will be fan-centric with all the things you like to see and less of the things you don't. And no doubt, a lot of innovations along the way. We will present a shorter, faster-paced, family-friendly, and easier-to-understand game. Don't get me wrong, it's still football, but it's professional football reimagined.
He's talking about two-hour games, which is actually a pretty good concept and a pretty good idea.
Yeah, man.
Finally, on the XFL 2.0 iteration that's coming, McMahon says that this is not about politics. This is not about social issues. He wants that portion of what the NFL's dealing with to have nothing to do with his game.
I have no idea whether or not President Trump will support this. And let me, this is an opportunity for me to say that as far as our league is concerned, it'll have nothing to do with politics. Absolutely nothing, and nothing to do with social issues either. We're there to play football. We want really good football. And I think that's what fans want as well when they tune in. I don't know that they want to be dealing with political issues and things of that nature. They want good football. That's what we're going to deliver.
Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open. We can allow you to call in here first time this morning at 800-636-1067. A couple of questions I'd throw at you to kind of get the conversation started. 800-636-1067. First, what'd you make of the McMahon announcement? If that's some of the first audio you've heard, I'd be surprised. It was all over the place last night. What did you think of what he said? I believe Chad played it in its entirety here on 106.7, the Fan during Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday. Do you like some of the changes and the ideas that McMahon is making? What I mean by that, Danny, is the first time we saw this game,
yes,
it was going to be brash and everything the NFL can't be.
It was the WWE goes to the NFL. His view and what he called the NFL penny wastes. Because even then, this is in the 90s, the game is too soft. There are too many rules. You can't late hit. The fair catching, all those other kind of things. And he quickly realized that some of those rules, by the way, where you could bump a receiver, actually limited the offense that they were going for. So they changed on the fly. But his view was, we're going to do this as salaciously, if that's even a word, as possible.
Yeah, the cheerleaders will wear less, and the players are going to hit harder. And this isn't for families. This is for... No, the extreme out there.
And then basically, they played in Chicago where it was really cold and the cheerleaders looked like normal cheerleaders. So you can only be so naked on television because it was on NBC. So his first go-around was, this is going to be, you know, the sleazy and easy. This is what we want. We're just taking our wrestling show and turning it to football.
Yesterday, this time, though, he made it sound like it's family-friendly.
This is different.
He basically said this is football for the family. He sounded like Ted Leonsis talking about the Arena Football League coming to Washington, D.C. It's going to be affordable. It's going to be fast-paced. It's going to be for the families. He also was asked about Johnny Manziel, and he basically said, yeah, we don't want guys who have gotten in trouble off the field. We don't want guys who are going to be criminals. We want our guys to be as good off the field as they are on the field, which is the opposite of before, where he basically was saying, yeah, we'll get convicts. We'll go get whoever we need to, and he was basically cutting a WWE promo.
Yeah, we'll go do the longest yard.
Exactly. It's the opposite now. I think they completely missed an opportunity where they could have said, we'll build this thing around Manziel and Robert Griffin and Colin Kaepernick. And the guys who have fizzled out of the league, the guys who have been blackballed for whatever reason, the guys who got in trouble in the case of Manziel, they're not going to do that. It doesn't sound like they want to be tied to the NFL that much, which I think is a mistake. They don't want to compete with the NFL. He basically says, we got X amount of millions of people watching the Super Bowl, and as soon as the Super Bowl ends, there's nothing for you. Our league, which is going to be really good quality football by the best players that aren't in the NFL, is going to start right after. You should come watch these games. That's basically what he's saying.
A couple things were the first go around was misguided. This go around is smarter. Again, I still don't think it's going to work and have no interest in it, but it's smarter for a couple reasons. What's the number one sport in America?
It'll be football.
What's the number two sport in America? College football. That was his point, and I think that was very astute. So we always think, we go, well, the NFL's number one, and then maybe the NBA. No. College football gets the second most viewership. So make no mistake, there is a void, there is a gap that's filled with. For college football folks, it's recruiting things and signing day, but then nothing. You're covering Alabama spring practice. In the NFL, it's the draft and a couple mini camps. We can't learn diddly and or squat. There is a window for this to go. Now, again, others have tried it before and it's failed, but it's the smart play to try to fill that void. Shorter games, less commercial breaks, no more score, extra point, commercial, comeback, kickoff, commercial. No, you know that's going to go.
Get rid of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is some success to be had. And I promise you that even if this thing only lasts a year again, which I would take the over on one season, I'll tell you why in a second. But there will be things that are done advancements and technological ideas, because he's a smart guy. He's a super businessman, and he's got smart people around him that the NFL ends up using, just like they did last time when they took some of the camera angles and a lot of the neat, unique things about the XFL became staples for the National Football League for years thereafter. I think that's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
I heard John Oren on with the Junkies, Sports Business Journal.
Yep.
They asked him basically about why this thing will last longer than it did last time. I didn't realize that last time, McMahon wanted to keep going with the XFL, but he was in bed with NBC, and they together had basically put forth the money on the product. So as they were just taking on water, and that ship was going deeper and deeper into the ocean, the cable network jumped out and said, we're not doing this anymore. We're washing our hands. And he didn't have anything he could do about it.
He had investors. He had a bunch of people, parties that had to be satisfied.
This time, it's his money and his alone. And so just like someone who opens a restaurant knowing they're going to take a beating for a while, he might push through the first year or two losing money for the back end of that third or fourth season, if he can get that far, when he thinks maybe he could turn the corner, which is interesting. Do you like the change in philosophy and in paradigm by Vince McMahon for the XFL would be the first question. 800-636-1067. Do you agree with me that he's missing a brilliant opportunity if he's not going to allow for Colin Kaepernick or Johnny Manziel to be in this league? 800-636-1067. And what is your level of intrigue? We could go 1 to 10 on this. Your level of intrigue, it's a long ways off, which is another problem, not till 2020.
That's true, yeah.
It's a long time from now. But are you in on the idea of the XFL 2.0? That's the question. We'll get to your calls next. 800-636-1067 or on Twitter.
At Funny Danny and at Grant H. Paulson.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The XFL is coming back. 2.0 will start in 2020. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Are you excited about the new XFL? That was a poll question posted yesterday afternoon by 106.7 The Fan. 54% of people said no. 46% said yes.
I would have thought it was higher in the other direction.
I would have too. You can answer that question if you'd like at 800-636-1067. What's your level of intrigue? What do you make of some of the changes to paradigm for Vince McMahon from the last version? I don't know why someone wouldn't be excited. It's a football league run by a really good businessman.
Yeah, he's great at this.
Who's terrific in his innovation and who's pretty sharp, as we found out last time, with some of the things they're going to enhance technologically. At worst, here's the floor for this. You'll watch some entertaining product that may or may not work. And the NFL will get some cool ideas for the future. That, to me, is the floor for this whole thing, assuming it gets off the ground and they play games in 2020, which a lot of leagues haven't gotten to that point. I think this one will because Vince McMahon's behind it, and he's got more money than he knows what to do with.
And a couple observations. Usually on a poll question like that, people love to say that they're excited about something and then not end up actually watching it. Rubber meets the road. Remember, the big three gets announced. Oh, dude, I'm all in. I can't wait. Yeah, the numbers say otherwise. You know, there was an initial bump, and then you realize that Baron Davis, fat and out of shape, you know, jacking up jumpers because he's really tired in a half-court setting isn't that entertaining, so people didn't watch it as it went on. Now, they're getting the second season, good for them, but it's a lot of big talk before people actually tune out on something. So I anticipated they hear this and they're going, yes, this is awesome! Kind of like when arena football goes, yes, this is awesome! Yeah, people don't really watch and it kind of goes away.
I thought McMahon was going to come out and say that the game's getting too soft and we're going to bring back the violence and the big hits. I understand why he's not doing that, and I think that this is probably the better business play. I do not understand from a business standpoint why they wouldn't try to go get a Colin Kaepernick, why they wouldn't allow a Johnny Manziel to play.
It's a good question.
I think you need all the eyeballs possible, and the idea of this wholesome family fun where no one's ever gotten in trouble off the field, I think that's a mistake.
So here's the segment that he seems to be going for. If you buy, which I don't, by the way, I think just TV watching is down for everybody at all times, and the NFL isn't immune to that. But if you buy the Clay Travis or somebody else narrative that, see, people are tuning out because of the protests, which, again, I think is bogus and not true. Maybe there's like a handful of guys who did. Congratulations. You got to stick to some principles. That's awesome. The rest of us
some of that
watched
handful,
a great product.
By the way, was posting pictures in their jerseys as their teams were winning in the playoffs.
Yeah, so everybody knows there's hypocrisy there. But if you buy that narrative, which it sounds like Vince does, then that's who you're going for. You're going for the Budweiser drinking Patriots who just can't handle anybody taking a knee at any point. And just you made sure you went after that segment of the population. My view is that's not a big enough segment. My view is that's not enough to sustain the league.
Well, but they think it's a huge pool. You're limiting the players you can choose from. And the biggest problem he had, someone asked him yesterday, why didn't this work the first time? And he said the quality of the play. Well, the first thing you're doing when you determine who can and can't play in your league based on the section of population you're going after, perhaps, is you're limiting your talent pool, and you already are dealing with a talent pool that doesn't include the best football players in the country. You can't limit it further than that and have success as a product. That's where I worry for them. I will watch it, absolutely. If there's a team in driving distance, I will go to a game. Not surprisingly, you're probably not going to, and you won't.
Yeah, neither.
Will you watch on TV?
No.
See, I don't believe that. I think you'll watch.
I will not. I learned my lesson the first time. I learned.
Zero chance. 2020 opening night, XFL game one, 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. You're not going to watch one play.
100%. I watched it the first go around, and you are limited, as you just touched on it. The reason why, it's not the NFL. You can't get
what
they get.
But so what? You watch college football?
Yeah, because those guys are going to be in the NFL. You watch at the
some
highest,
of them, 1% of them.
The highest level. It's not like I'm sitting there. I don't watch Virginia
like,
take on BYU. I don't do that.
You don't watch that game ever? I'll bet you do. I'll bet if that game's on and on Saturday afternoon, you're just going to put that game on and watch it.
Like I could stumble across it, but to me, watching means like this is an appointment. Like when Alabama's playing Ohio State, I'm tuned in. When Clemson's playing Alabama, because they do every year, I'm watching that. But the casual random game, I don't watch casual random NHL games.
I'll definitely watch at the XFL. I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love football, and I like kind of spectacles and entertainment, and I think it's going to be that. I also don't have – one thing from working with you that I noticed is you've got a necessity to see the best, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You refuse to watch, like, the lower level of something.
Right. I don't watch the MLS, for example.
Right.
I obsess over USA Soccer, which they're also not the best, obviously, but – you know, I watch the highest level stuff. I love the World Cup. I'll be tuned out this time because the USA didn't make it. But you get my point. I love the Olympics, the summer, not the winter. But the highest level of stuff, I'm all in on. When you are necessarily limited by your pool and you're dealing with cast-offs.
To me, this is just a fun thing. They're not in competition with the league.
Right.
You throw it into a downtime. It's like the Arena League, which for some inexplicable reason you were also out on. When all that is fun, it's just a time of the year where there isn't football and you get to watch more of it. To me, it's just that's how simple I kind of boil it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. You're out. I'm in. 800-636-1067. Are you intrigued? James in Fairfax, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, James?
First off, let me start by saying my suggestion for your listener names is the Great Virginians.
The Great.
Off of Virginia's doing great.
Because
Virginia's
doing
great. Here's the problem.
The greatest state in the union.
Our listeners in D.C. and Maryland may not love that.
I thought about that. But anyway.
I went ahead anyway. I love it.
So on the XFL, you know, I'm like Danny. I tuned in on the first round. The rate of play was subpar. And, you know, they say they're not going to compete with the NFL, but they're going to be pulling the lower percentage of the guys that make to the NFL for their players. On the Colin Kaepernick, Johnny Manziel, I absolutely agree with Grant. They should go after him. But if you watch the WWE, they just fired one of their big stars, one of their champs, because he had a rape allegation. So they are going in the direction of let's get rid of the turds and keep the good guys.
Well, I'll say this. I don't know if you have any sports league at this point where a guy gets an allegation like Enzo Amore, who's who he's talking to about, the wrestler, and they're not going to suspend or boot them for a time. I mean, they fired a guy who... the allegations are not good. They're not firing guys who get in trouble for getting drunk at a bar and getting into a fight. Or the things that Johnny Manziel has done, as an example, are not the same as what he's talking about Enzo Amore doing.
Yeah. One, harmless isn't the exact right word, but one is like, hey, just get your life together, man. The other is obviously a very serious criminal charge.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to pat the WWE's back and say, wow, you guys have really turned the corner in terms of who they employ and who they don't. Vince McMahon is not going to come out and say, if you have a rap sheet, if you've been arrested, like he did with the football players yesterday, mm-hmm. about wrestlers. I don't think he's going to do that.
Because I remember I went back and did some digging on this, and in at the time where the first XFL came about, again, Vince McMahon was going, we're going even harder than these guys. And this was the time where the league actually, talking about the NFL, wasn't as good as it is today in terms of off-the-field trouble. We publicized these things, but there was at least, I think it was around 20% of NFL players had some sort of criminal record at that point. Now, that's a macro, that's even misdemeanors and
20%?
Small stuff. It was around 20% at this time. And so his point, we're going even harder.
Where'd that number come from? Is that from the XFL documentary?
It was from a Washington Post story that I read at the time. So
crazy
it
high.
Was the, we're going even harder than this. So we're getting bad boys. This is now, the NFL, by the way, I know we have publicized bad stuff with Greg Hardy or other folks, but the percentage is way down from there.
Is Vince McMahon on to something here? And is his shift in philosophy to being a little bit more family-friendly and less appealing to people who want to see more violent hits and want to see a more X-rated version of the NFL, is that actually smart business? 800-636-1067. We can wrap this up with your calls next. Brent and Danny on the Fan.
What would you do if you could reimagine the game of professional football? Would you, for instance, eliminate halftime? Would you have fewer commercial breaks? Would the game of football be faster? Would the rules be simpler? The new XFL will be fan-centric with all the things you like to see and less of the things you don't. And no doubt, a lot of innovations along the way. We will present a shorter, faster-paced, family-friendly, and easier-to-understand game. Don't get me wrong, it's still football, but it's professional football reimagined.
Vince McMahon from his XFL announcement yesterday, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Couple things. First of all, as we welcome you back, Pete Medhurst hosts Nationals Hot Stove every single week here on The Fan on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Tomorrow morning, he'll be joined by Michael A. Taylor.
Nice.
So make sure you're listening, Nats fans. 8 a.m. for a Nats Hot Stove show. He's done a great job, gotten some great guests on. He's talked to everyone from starting outfielders to the pitching coach. Mike Rizzo's been on. It's been a cool thing.
It's really neat. I likes it, my friend.
So check out Pete, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, Nats Hot Stove. Vince McMahon apparently just sounds like his character on TV sounds.
Regular voice, yeah.
I texted Chad yesterday during the press conference. I said, is this Vince's real voice, or does he do like a Vince McMahon character all the time? And he's like, I'm not sure. But Chad pointed out to me at that time, I had no idea. He's 72 years old.
72.
72. If you would have asked me how old is Vince McMahon, and I just have no file on ages of people. If I was Andy Pollin and Tom Lavero and I had to guess birthdays every weekend, I would never do well. I would have said he was like 65. He's 70. He's almost 73.
He looks incredible.
He does.
He looks incredible. There is nothing that I probably wouldn't, if you tell me, like, I'd keep doing this diet forever if you told me that's what I'm going to look like I'm 72.
You wouldn't do that.
To look like that at 72? At 72.
You wouldn't trade that in, Danny.
Double my age
you
and look like that?
You just almost cried because you couldn't eat the thing I said was in the kitchen.
I know what I am. Point is, he looks amazing.
He does look really good, and he is in his 70s, but he talks like this yesterday. The XFL.
Revel.
Brother.
Voice. Yeah.
I wonder if you just talk to him. He might sound like that in a boardroom.
If you cut enough promos, it becomes who you are.
Yeah.
That's probably what's happening.
Like if he walked into the studio right now during a break, and someone's like, hey, this is Grant and Danny. They do a sports show. And he's like, hello, gentlemen. Or would he just be like, hey, guys, I'm Vince.
How's it going, guys? Vince.
Chris Clarksburg, you're on the Fan. What's your intrigue in the XFL?
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody?
What's up, man?
Okay, listen. I think, after Super Bowl is over, I would say 50% of the people, of the fan, gets tuned out of football. You know, you got March Madness coming around. You got the spring training, opening of the baseball season. I would say, in order for him to be successful with what kind of product he wants to put on the field and whatever entertainment he wants to put on TV, I think he should go up against the NFL. That's the only way he'll be successful. Because any given Sunday afternoon, when you're watching a game and there's a commercial from your favorite football game, you would like to tune in and see what the XFL is all about. In the summertime, there's no way you're going to bring your friends over on a Sunday afternoon barbecue to watch an XFL game. I'd rather be outside than inside the house.
Hmm.
That's my point.
There is to be said for, I can absolutely admit to this, by the time the NFL season ends, and it starts really in August with some of the preseason games and whatever else, but early September through the end of December, and if your team's in the playoffs, then obviously you're still going to those games. Like, my weekends for the fall into the early winter are booked.
They're booked up.
You just can't do anything on Sundays. It's football day. And even during the playoffs, I'm the same way. I want to be there and watching that. So part of me says, man, I kind of look forward to not having anything on my schedule. Are you really going to commit to another several week stretch of, well, now my Sundays are booked again because I got the XFL?
Is that when he's going to do it? Because here's
no, I bet it's like a Friday night thing.
Yeah, the
again.
Other thing I thought of would be to do normal primetime television where it's like Chicago Rescue Guys on CBS or like, you know, Firefighters Are Us on NBC. Compete against those generic, just zilch shows
right
on primetime television, like a Thursday night. You know, instead of Seinfeld, you're watching that. That to me would be a strategy.
I think you should absolutely do it on a weeknight. There's no reason to try to compete on a weekend. The NFL owns Sunday, and people are busy on the weekends. And even when the NFL ends, they want their weekends back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you. I think Friday night, if you're going to do a weekend night, maybe a Saturday night would make a little bit more sense. Rick Manassas, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you, bud.
I think the XFL may actually make it, and for a couple of reasons. First, I think McMahon may have learned some of the lessons from the previous run. I think there is going to be enough quality players available, and I realize we're not talking about that 1% that make the NFL, but there are plenty of good players that come out of college that don't make the draft. In fact, they've even got a show about the players that are undrafted right. And that could still make it in, on a roster somewhere. Like a previous caller, I think one of the hurdles might be the time of year. Most people aren't thinking in spring and summer of football, but he might have to work extra hard to overcome that particular obstacle. And I think you guys might be underestimating the number of people who may have tuned off the NFL because of all the regardless of where you stand on the issue, nobody wants to tune in to watch football to hear about politics. And I have a lot of friends who are lifelong fans of various teams who made good on their promise to tune it off this year. And
I hear that from a
demographic out there.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Because on the extreme opposite side of the issue where, you know, some folks say not enough airtime is given to the protesters. Other folks say they can't stand the protesters. I'm the caller. I don't care where you line up on that. I think that is still such a tiny drop in the bucket when we're talking about, you know, 46 million people watching this past weekend's playoff game. I just think viewing habits have changed. And that's to me is as uncomplicated as I can make it. But, and that's where I say, and he and I, it sounds like we disagree, but to me, this is the mistake that McMahon is making, I think, is he's going, I believe that this is a huge segment of the population that was so off-put by some guys taking a knee that I'm going for that population. I'm going for that group right there. That's who I'm basically putting a flag in the ground saying, this is what I care about. I don't think that's enough to sustain interest. I really don't. Especially if you're not going to include marquee names. The anonymous college guy
by itself. But if that's one of 10 or 11 groups of people that you can get to commit.
Well, the U's of the world, the hardcore sports fans that just love football. And are gonna, if there's football, you're going to watch it.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's enough either.
No, but I'm saying if you pull from enough groups, then you could have 6-7 million people maybe tuning in to watch this thing each week. And that would be enough to keep it afloat. I disagree with the number of people that gave up on football. I just do. I do not think it's as substantial as people assume. And I think that the mistake people make is to say that the TV ratings being down has a lot to do with that. It may have a little bit to do with that. I think that's one of 50 items thrown into this stew that we've concocted, mm-hmm. the biggest of which is people watch games differently than they used to. Willie Berryville, what's up?
Hey, man. I was thinking that they really need to work on the stadium experience in these, because if you're trying to get fans, like my Redskins fandom was handed down to me through my father by the hand of God, I'm not going to care about anybody in the XFL. But if you can go there and have a couple drinks and get some food and get out of there for $50 or $100, or I don't know what's reasonable, that's really the way I think they're going to hook people. And I think I think Vince McMahon is on HGH. There's no way he would look so good.
But
otherwise.
He's on something, maybe. But here's the question. Yeah. Did you go to any Arena League games for the Valor this year?
No.
Okay, because everything you just described is exactly what the AFL is with the Washington Valor. It's cheap. It's an amazing time. Families go there. You get out the door without having to spend a lot of money, and it's fun, pretty good football. So that exists in this town already, and you're saying if that existed, I'd go, well, you didn't this year.
It's empty talk. Here's what could do it. A couple of people brought this up to me. I know we got to jump. Daily fantasy and regular fantasy. Much more prevalent this go-around. More ubiquitous. This is a massive industry. Maybe that's the way. You get guys betting on this thing.
Possibly.
You get interest that way, so people start to follow it. Maybe then.
Will Brinson, CBS Sports' eye on NFL blog. We will ask him his thoughts on the XFL. More importantly, we'll go around the league and get you ready for Super Bowl week with Brinson next on the bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.